Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. It is episode 101. It's wonderful to be together again. A very warm welcome to you. If it's your first time tuning in, it's very simple. We just pause in the afternoon for 15 minutes, open up God's Word and see what He has today. And we've been working our way through some of the epistles. We started at James, and we find ourselves now right at the end of 1 John. We're about to finish off 1 John. But before we turn to that, episode 100, we celebrated by doing a book giveaway, and I guess in mixed emotion, I was sad but glad that only one person sent an answer in. I was sad because I was hoping I'd get more feedback, but I was glad because then I get to keep my books. But one lovely lady, I'm not sure if I want to say her name online because I didn't ask if she'd be happy for me too. But one of the questions was, which episode of the Daily Devotion is not on sermon audio? And she sent me through an email. She probably knows who she is. Well, I'm sure she knows who she is. Anyway, it was episode number 4. It accidentally got deleted somewhere along the line, and we lost it forever. And she gets the Heart of Christ. And so I'll come and drop that off to you because it's someone from my church. So when I'm around in town, if I ever get out of my house again, I'll come and drop this off to you. So congratulations for that. Now, there are still some books to give away. So if you do want to pop over to episode 100 and have a look, and you're from New Zealand, you might score yourself a free book. It's right at the end of the video. But we're not here to talk about books. We're here to look at the Word of God. So before we turn to that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your love to us. And we pray that as we turn to your word, that you would feed us and nourish us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, as I say, we're turning to 1 John chapter 5, and we're looking at the last section from verse 13 through 21. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God, and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Well, if you've read the book of John, the Gospel of John, you'll know that he in that book also says, this is why I'm writing. And right at the end of the Gospel of John, in the second to last chapter, chapter 20, verse 31, he says, this is why I'm writing this gospel, because I want you to believe. I want you to believe in Jesus Christ. I want you to believe that he is the Christ. I want you to believe that he's come from God. And I want you to believe so that you will have eternal life. Now, many years later, John is writing again. And he's writing to those who have believed. And he's writing because he wants their faith to flourish. That's really what this whole last section is about from verse 13 onwards. He wants the believer's faith to flourish. He wants it to grow. And there's an important learning principle for us in this. We should never be content with our faith. And what I mean by that is not that we should be discontented, but rather that we should always be looking for our faith to grow. We should always be looking for our belief in Christ to develop, strengthen, and grow, for our trust in God to keep on moving forward. There should never be a sense in which we feel like we've achieved it, like we've arrived, like we've finished, but rather that we seek, as Romans says, to go from faith to faith. And that sense of our faith just keeps growing, keeps moving forward, keeps developing. Now the way that John here is going to spur on faith is by showing us the blessings that come through faith. Now, there is a lot in this passage that we can delve into. We haven't got time. We've only got 15 minutes, so we're going to be very quick. But there are some beautiful, beautiful pieces of fruit, beautiful blessings that come through faith. Firstly, he talks about prayer, doesn't he? He says in verse 13 through 15 that he wants our faith to grow, and this is the blessing, that we have confidence to come and pray to our Father. He says in verse 14, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the requests we've asked for. You can see the logic, don't you? We've believed, we have faith, we trust him, so we know that we can speak to him. And because we know we speak to him, we know he hears us. And because we know he hears us, we know he'll answer. And there's such beautiful confidence in that, isn't there? That when we come to pray, we're not praying wishfully hoping, you know, like, oh man, I really hope that God hears me and I'm going to pray and maybe he might just listen to me this time. You know, I've prayed 1,000 times and maybe this time my prayer will work. No, we don't approach like that. We approach just like our children approach us. I think of my kids. They never come to me hoping that I'll listen to them. Well, okay, sometimes maybe they wish I would listen to them more because I'm a bad father. But you get what I mean. They come to me when they speak to me with a confidence that I'm going to listen to them. And they know that I'll hear them and that I'll answer them. Now, they may not like the answer I give them, but they know I'm going to answer them. And there's a picture in that of what it's like coming to God, isn't it? We come to God and he's the perfect father. And unlike me, who is a weak failure at times, God is never a failure. He's never weak. He's always strong. And so we come to him and we ask him and we speak to him and he always answers. And not only does he always answer, but he always answers and gives that which is for our good. See, that's what it means to ask in accordance with his will. It means to ask for the things which are going to be in keeping with his desire for us. Now, obviously, you and I know, if you're a believer, you and I know that God doesn't always give us what we ask for, does he? As a child, I'm sure many of us ask for a new bike or a motorbike or a new car or whatever. And as adults, we ask for many meaningless things, don't we? We ask for trivialities. We ask for physical health when God says, no, physical health is not what you need right now. We ask for our loved ones not to die when God says, no, the best thing is for that person is that they die. I remember a good friend of mine, he was a lecturer at a Bible college. He was in his mid-40s and he got cancer. And I remember speaking to his wife and she said to me that she had prayed for him not to die. But he died. And I remember saying to her, well, what about the book he was writing? She said to me, Logan, the work on earth he had done was finished. His work was complete. So God called him home. You know, it's just that attitude that God knows what's best. And so we ask with this confidence that he will answer and do what is for our best. And it's such a blessing of faith that we come to him like children to our Father, receiving what we ask for. But not only is this prayer towards ourselves, there's a sense in which we have this confidence to pray for our brothers. And that's what this whole section between 16 and 17 is about. This section about, you know, it sounds a bit weird when you read it, about the sin that leads to death and the sin that doesn't lead to death. I think that's probably just John reflecting on the likes of Judas Iscariot and people who have fallen away. But the point of it all is that when we have a brother who's living in sin, when we have a brother who is tempted to head down the pathway of sin, you've been in this situation before. I know of a young man who started sleeping around with someone. And so his friends gathered around him. They went to him and they said to him, look, you need to stop doing this because it's heading down the pathway of sin. And they prayed for him And it led to this man being restored. And it's such a beautiful picture of this exact principle. John's saying, because we believe in God, because we believe that God is a God who works for his children, we have confidence to pray for our brothers and sisters, to pray for other believers when they're tempted to fall into sin, and we know that God will work in them to restore them and to protect them. Now, when he says there's no point in praying for the one who's sinning unto death, I think all he means is a person is outside of Christ. We don't pray that person would stop being tempted into sin. We pray that they would hear the gospel, by all means. We pray for the salvation of the lost. John's saying don't pray for the salvation of people. Really, he's saying there's a different type of prayer here. There's a prayer you pray for a believer who's tempted to sin. And you need to pray that, and God will answer that. God will work in their life. Pray that prayer. We've got confidence because we believe in God that he will work like that. But then notice lastly, and we're just going to have to skip over the top of this, but in the last section, verse 18 to 21, just pick up on the fact that a belief in God leads to a sure life. So he says that everyone who's been born of God doesn't keep on sinning. In other words, if we've believed in God, that faith is going to produce a radically changed life, isn't it? We're not going to go on living the way we used to. We're going to start living for our Father. We're going to start doing what he says in the Ten Commandments. You remember it? He says, I have redeemed you. I have brought you out of the land of the slavery. I've redeemed you from that place. I've taken you out of Egypt. Now go and live like this. Here are 10 things I want you to do. Go and live this way. And so same for us. He says, I have redeemed you by the blood of Christ. I have set you free. You have faith in me. I've given you faith. You've believed in me. Now go and live as I've called you to live. And John's done that throughout the epistle, hasn't he? He said, go and love one another. And here he says, we'll put off sin and we'll be protected from the evil one. He who has been born of God, speaking about Jesus, protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. You see, faith leads to protection from the devil. We're not called to run and fight the devil with our bare hands, but rather, what do we take? We take the shield of faith. We take the shield of faith, and when the devil attacks, the shield of faith protects us, and the helmet of salvation, and all of this reality is faith-based in which we stand, because you know that you can't stand before the devil and say, devil, you've got no dirt on me because I'm a really good person. You can't say that. But you can hold up the shield of faith and say, Satan, I know I'm a sinner, but I've believed in Christ, and so I can stand firm in the gospel. I can shod my feet with the gospel news and walk forth with a shield of faith, with my helmet of salvation, protected and secure, because God holds me. But notice also that we can stand firm in this world. So verse 18, we know we're from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So we're protected from this evil one in this world filled with lies. What enables us to stand firm is believing in Christ. And then in verse 20 and 21, just very quickly at verse 21, in verse 20, we see that God is the true God, and therefore 21, we don't run to idols. So you see, belief in Christ means we don't turn to idols. Because if we've believed in Christ, if we have faith, if our faith is growing, one of the fruits that's going to produce is we're not going to turn to idols. Why would we? If we've turned to Christ and we've seen the magnificent beauty of Christ, why on earth would we turn to a prostitute or to lying or to a TV or to books or the internet or social media or pornography or anything else or all the idols of the world, pride, the lust of the flesh, all these things? They become meaningless because by faith we've seen how beautiful Jesus is. We've tasted and seen that God is good. Well, let me ask you, have you tasted and seen that Christ is good, that Jesus is beautiful? You see, John wants and God wants your faith to keep growing. And so he's given you a gospel to believe in. He's given you a gospel to tell you about Christ. He's given you Jesus. And so the question for you and I really is our faith growing? Do we see the fruits of our faith? Let us push into these blessings. Let us push into prayer. Let us be protected from the evil one. Let us rely upon faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Your love. Keep us safe. Be with us as we go about our day. Guard us from all things. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again for another day. I hope you have a blessed evening or whatever time of day it is, wherever you are. Tomorrow we'll be tapping into Westminster Wednesday again, having a look at another chunk of the Westminster Confession of Faith. So I'd invite you to come and join me for that. Otherwise, we'll be back here Thursday for another daily devotion. Have a most blessed evening, and I will see you tomorrow.